Wendy and her brothers are whisked away to the magical world of Neverland with the hero of their stories, Peter Pan.
Hi, I'm Andre.
I'm Michelle.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Luis.
And we are The Walt Vault, a family-friendly podcast where we get silly and talk about Disney movies.
This is the remix of The Walt Vault, cause that Peter Pan episode was pretty crappy, and we're sorry. Yeah.
First off, it wasn't bad.
It was just kidding, the episode was fine.
The content really of funny. The episode was all great and all there. But if you're listening to this for the first time, this is the first time you've clicked the Peter Pan episode
good
of
for
The
you.
Walt Vault.
Good for you.
First of all, thank you. Thank you for clicking play. And also, we're sorry, because there's not much here. We recorded an entire episode of Peter Pan, and
which was fabulous.
It was great,
by the way.
And it was all recorded instead of on our microphones, our very fancy microphones. It was recorded on my laptop's less than awesome microphone. So
it's okay.
We've had to scrap the episode, and in its place, we're giving you this: a small recap of what we discussed about Peter Pan, and maybe we'll revisit this movie.
Yeah, maybe we'll revisit it in a few years.
Or something.
Who knows?
Maybe we'll return to Neverland with the second Peter Pan.
Oh, yeah, maybe we'll return to Neverland. So this movie came out in 1953, correct?
Yes.
One of the first Walt Disney classics that even came out before Disneyland opened.
True. Hey, that's a good fun fact that we didn't say on the last time. Hey,
yeah, because I just thought about it because Disneyland opened in 55 and this movie came out in 53.
Boom.
It's an original, everybody.
So how about I give you a topic and you just give me your first impressions?
Okay, hit it.
Sounds great.
Tinkerbell, go.
Ooh, she's sassy. She's murderous.
Evil. Oh.
She is not a great person.
She's not at all how I remember her.
She is sassy. She got hips. She got lots of emotion.
She's very curvy.
She old. I think of her as old Tinkerbell. That was the old Tinkerbell. The new Tinkerbell is...
Oh,
you know, that has
cute,
her own movie.
Nice.
She's super cute and nice and handy dandy and good with tools. And this Tinkerbell.
Good with tools.
This Tinkerbell was her teenage years and she had some issues. Oh.
How about this? Quote from the movie: a jealous female can be tricked into anything.
Ooh.
Captain Hook.
Captain Hook said that.
Go ahead and give the context of when he said this.
He said this about... When did Tink. He say this?
He said it about Tink.
He said it about Tink.
Because he wanted to convince Tink to show him where Peter Pan was.
But how did he know that she was jealous?
Heard that Peter Pan had banned Tinkerbell because she tried to kill Wendy.
That's right. She tried to shoot Wendy out of the sky.
No, she didn't try to lightly kill Wendy either. She was like, shoot the Wendy bird.
She didn't lightly salt her
with
killing.
After she was confronted about it, she was like... Peter was like, you tried to kill Wendy. And she was like, mm-hmm.
Safe
no doubt.
To say that Tinkerbell is a little bit cray-cray.
But Captain Hook, he completely manipulated her using his wits, which I didn't know he had at the beginning of the movie.
Did not know. Moving on to the next one, Captain Hook.
I was just going to say that, Captain Hook. Captain Hook is slowly becoming one of my favorite Disney villains.
Agreed.
He is dramatic.
Dramatic. So dramatic
and
flamboyant with his little feathery hats and everything and his give me my good coat all of that stuff, but he is hilarious.
My hooks me, bring me my hooks.
We talked about this in the last episode, but it's so funny because when you really look at it from kind of a sympathetic Captain Hook perspective, he actually isn't that evil.
Not so bad. Peter Pan cut off his hand. It's kind of rude.
Yeah. I'd be mad.
Yeah.
I'd be mad too.
Stupid little 12-year-old. You better get over here.
Stupid. All right. I'm going to say a topic now. Nana.
Oh, good. She was my next one.
Nana.
Nana the dog is the best character in the entire movie.
Yeah, she is.
She definitely is.
She is a dog who takes care of the kids as a Nana.
Nanny. And drugged them up so well with their cough syrup at night that they had this crazy dream about Neverland. Yeah.
Truth. She takes care of them in their nursery, and she literally is a better parent than both of her parents combined.
She's the hardest working dog in London, I'm pretty sure.
She's the cutest working dog in London. I need that dog.
Well, the good thing about her is that she makes sure that everyone's safe. So she was taking all the blocks in their nursery and stacking them up. Aww. So that she was stacking the blocks so no one would trip. And then when Daddy Darling like went and tripped on him, everyone was really worried.
He busted through those blocks no less than 3 times.
And then he put her out on the
And then
outside.
She gets punished. What kind of world are we living in?
She handed Daddy Darling her own, like, what do you call it? Just leash? Like a yard leash. She's like, here you go.
Here, tie me up.
Sad day. I love Nana. She's great.
She was fantastic. Okay, next topic. Mr. Smee, go.
Oh, Mr. Smee.
Louis, give it.
He was annoying for me at first, but you know what? He's actually very comical. I really, really enjoyed him.
I appreciate you saying that. Smee is great.
One of my favorite parts in the whole entire movie is when Mr. Smee is going to trying to calm down Mr. Captain.
Mr. Hook.
And he's like, you know what you need? You need a spa day. Let me shave your face for you.
Oh,
God. And he goes to shave his face, and he's putting on the shaving cream stuff and patting him down and everything, and he didn't realize that a seagull had come and landed on Captain Hook's face, and he shaved the seagull's butt instead of Captain's face, and then when the seagull flew away, he thought he had chopped his head off.
So he just started looking for the head.
So he's looking around the ship for a head.
Where's that head?
Disembodied head, and he hears Captain Hook still talking. He's like, it's okay, Captain, I'll find it.
Because I guess on Neverland, if you lose your head, you ain't dead. I don't know.
Smee is so loyal. He's like a Nana.
He's like, I know that this is a stupid, Peter Pan mission, but we're going to stay here with you because, you know, we love you.
Yeah, I guess so.
He does whatever Captain Hook says in that scene where Peter is imitating Captain Hook's voice. he's on it. He's going back and forth.
Okay, Captain.
Whatever Captain wants, Captain gets.
Let me say, Captain.
No matter how contradictory it is.
I just told you. I know what you told me. I love it.
Hilarious.
Okay, next one. Indians.
Ooh,
go.
Rough. Worst part of the movie.
Why is the red man red?
Yikes.
Uka chaka.
Oof.
Are you trying to go on to Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah. I was
distracting. Can't stop this breathing. Okay. Rough part of the movie, we all agree that we just try to pretend like that didn't even happen. Yeah. And the rest of the movie is gravy.
And you know what's funny? Because Andre and I just went to Disneyland. We made a quick Disneyland trip last weekend.
And we rode
the Peter Pan ride. And after having just seen this movie, it was very interesting because the whole time I was like, are the Indians on the ride? Like, I can't really remember.
At the end, right?
They barely make a scene. Like, you see Tiger Lily in the water, which Tiger Lily is cool. She's like the cool part about it, you know. She's fine. But then, like, in the very back corner, there's like the chief and two other, and you just hear him say, oh, and then the boat just goes by, but you can barely see them.
Well, maybe they just wanted to like skate over the fact or fly over the fact that
that didn't happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, fun fact, the Lost Boys are not in the ride.
It's because they're lost.
Oh, they lost them.
They can't go to Disneyland. Sorry.
They're stuck in Neverland. How about next topic, the crocodile?
I love the crocodile.
The crocodile is almost like a dog.
Oh,
he's just waiting to get that bone.
He got a taste of something, and he can't wait to get some more.
He's just begging still.
He's like,
he is. I think of him as like
the hand and the rest of his body.
The dog.
Give me another clap.
You know when the dog sits by the couch and begs you for food? He sits by the pope and the boat. The pope.
The pope. The pope. I was like, oh my.
And licks his lips just waiting to get that Captain Hook bone.
That's probably some of the best, at least to me, the physical comedy in the whole movie is when anytime Hook and the crocodile are going at it, because I don't know how he's like running in and out of the whole crocodile from the front to the back.
And he shakes like the whole time. He's like,
see, in the original episode, we posited that the crocodile is Captain Hook's Nana. And then we also said that the crocodile looks exactly like Louis from The Princess and the Frog.
Exactly.
Like this
just
is
slightly different colors.
This is the crocodile when he was younger. And then he grows up. He gets over Captain Hook. He gets a little chubby. He starts playing jazz.
And then he helps Tiana and Navini.
Yeah.
Get down the bayou. Going down.
Right. He moves. Exactly. He moves from Neverland to New Orleans and hangs
out. Hey, as you do. He could have gotten on a ship and just gone.
As you do.
As you do.
You know, he probably ate Captain Hook and became the captain of the ship. Boated over.
I dig it.
And then started playing jazz.
I dig it. Okay, next one. Peter Pan.
Peter.
Bushy eyebrows.
The bushiest of eyebrows.
Bushier than you remember.
Bushier
than you remember. But look at a picture. They're bushy.
Still as childlike as I remember, but also kind of a, what's that word?
He's a
when
jerk.
You don't really know what's going on.
Naive?
Oblivious?
Yes, naive. Oblivious to the things that he does. Like the mermaid scene where they're splashing Wendy. And Peter thinks it's so funny. He's like, ha ha ha, they're just having fun. And the mermaid's like, yes, we were only trying to drown her. Not okay, Peter. Not okay.
He laughs it off.
Get it together, dude.
He's like, ha,
well, and FYI, he chopped someone's hand off and it was quote unquote a childish prank. I'm going to go with if my kid chopped my hand off, I would disown her.
Done.
Like, yeah. Just kidding. I still love Peter, though. And like the whole, I guess it's not the concept of Peter. It really would be the concept of Neverland and the movie, like the never grow up thing. That's not just a Peter thing. It's a Neverland thing.
But it mainly is focusing on him.
Yeah.
Right?
But I just still like that childlike concept of the movie. It gets me every time.
Yeah. Don't grow up. But also, you know.
You know what else you shouldn't do? You shouldn't read the original Peter Pan because it's very scary.
Yeah, it's a little
dark.
Don't
read it.
And, you know, he'd be like killing people if they grow up too fast.
Yeah, he killed the Lost Boys.
He was evil Peter Pan like on Once Upon a Time.
He's like letting the kids learn how to fly but not teaching them how to land. So they're like flying around for 6 months.
Forever.
And then they can't they can't like stop or they'll drown.
Oh.
So they're just like ridiculously tired. Or, you know, he knows how to like make up food. Like imagine food.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And then fill his belly, but he doesn't teach anyone else, so they all starving. Rough.
Let's not read the book.
Rough.
I kind of want to read the
book. Rough, right? I want to read it now, too. I read a synopsis. I got all excited.
Kind of funny.
Very interesting. Yeah, I love that Peter can fly. Flight is my favorite superpower ever. But and I'm also impressed with how good he is at fighting with the tiniest knife I've ever seen.
Oh, my gosh.
He has a tiniest tiny little knife. Itty-bitty knife, but he... He beats up people with that.
Like I said, prison shank status, and he's got it down.
Hmm, what is in your past, Peter? Where did you learn
What are you
skills?
Running from, buddy?
Is Peter the real codfish here? We'll never know.
We will never know. Next question. How about
music?
The music.
Yay, the music. Okay.
I forgot what I was going to say. Could you tell?
I was like, I think this was our last topic.
So, I was ready, and then it just, I lost it.
Music. This music brings back every nostalgic part of my childhood. And the biggest thing we talked about was the fact that these older Disney classic movies used choirs and like choruses.
Big choirs.
And it sounds angelic, and it just sounds old-timey, and there's something about old-timey choir, angelic, wonderful, magical Disney music that gets me every time.
I've never heard so many
adjectives. Peter Pan gets an A++++ for music.
Well, and you know what I like about it is that, am I correct in saying that not one character broke into song? Okay,
when Wendy sang it was like a good night song. So it was,
and like you can fly, like I get it.
But they don't sing it.
But
they're talking.
I don't think anybody actually breaks into.
I like that it's
Wendy.
All background music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's just a nice. It's you can definitely tell the difference in like what Disney did with music then versus what they
do
now.
Right. Sing.
Yeah, they do.
And then they
that didn't happen, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
That was not in the movie.
We cut that out of our
that song. That song wasn't included in my magical Disney song description.
We're following the leader.
Oh,
the
man,
leader,
they sang that too. But still, again.
Yeah. But in the context, it's like they're singing a song. They're not breaking out into song and don't realize they're breaking out into
actually, the
song.
Kids would probably sing that song.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and the Indians would sing a song around a fire.
Yeah.
True.
They're like appropriate, not just.
They wouldn't sing about why they're.
Not just
a
breaking
certain
out
color,
right,
yeah. yeah.
Hey, let me
Maybe
explain
not.
Our stereotypes to you guys real quick.
Yeah, they didn't do that. But, like, You Can Fly and all of those songs are the second star to the right. Actually, I don't think that's in this movie. That
the
must be.
Second star. It's in the beginning.
Is it? Oh, yes.
In
it's
the
in
credits.
The intro. The intro credits. That is a great song.
Yes. Beautiful. Yes. Oh, we talked about very briefly the sick children. You want to talk about the sick children real fast?
The sick children. Oh, right. Okay. So this movie,
which was cool.
The The rights to Peter Pan were owned by a children's hospital whose name I cannot remember at this particular
moment. Yes, this was a fact I had looked up. But the author of Peter Pan, when he had passed, left the rights to Peter Pan to a children's hospital. So therefore, when Disney wanted to make this movie, they had to go ask the hospital for the rights. So Disney only holds the animation rights. So things that they sell, like toys,
merchandise,
things like that, all of that profit goes to the hospital.
Yeah.
So I think they said the hospital has made like $14.3 million off of this
Peter
movie.
Pan, which is awesome.
So boom, boom
great.
For them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when you're watching the beginning credits, you actually see, like, it says, like, thank you to the sick children at blah, blah,
right,
blah.
At this children's hospital.
I feel like they could have better worded that as well. Like, sure. We're not really that PC.
Yeah. Something tells me that the creator of Peter Pan actually did that. Well, I wouldn't say like he could foretell what was going to happen in the future, but he had an idea that Peter Pan was going to catch.
He future-proofed
it.
What better way to pretty much create funding for this children's hospital?
I think it's a great idea.
Several years past his death, than to give them the rights of something that would eventually...
And also,
I agree. That's
also,
so
it's
cool.
Like Disney respected it. You know, they asked for the animation rights and they got that, and... they still sell all of their stuff, even though they're not making a profit off of it, per se.
That I'm So Fly, you know? T-shirt from Disneyland that I want really bad.
That I never land.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Boom.
So, yeah, there's
drop
a fun
some
fact.
Peter Pan knowledge on you.
Yeah. So that was our Peter Pan knowledge. You want to give our ratings?
I
don't remember what mine
was. I said 8.5.
What did I give this movie?
Yeah, I think I said...
I said 8.5.
I think I gave it an 8.
Andre gave it an 8.
I think I gave it an 8, too.
Emily gave it an 8. Luis gave it a... I feel like yours was lower.
I think mine was like a 7 or 7.5.
I think you said 7.5.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
What does this have on Rotten Tomatoes?
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Which, keep in mind, might not be as accurate for the critic score because of the time period that it came out. It's not like there was really... a lot of internet that people were writing reviews on, you know.
What?
I'm pretty sure that they were. I'm pretty sure that they were on there.
In 53.
It has a 76% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And what? And it doesn't have an audience score for some reason.
Well, it does have an audience score. Hang on a second. Just got
pretty sure Dr. Zola and the Red Skull were writing these on the internet in the 1940s.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
The Red Skull.
The audience score is 80%. So it's definitely a well-liked movie.
Right.
Yes.
And we know that it's a well-liked movie because we did not forget that this was the movie that you, the users, what are you guys? The followers.
You guys
chose
voted
this.
On it.
Listeners. Yes, thank you.
And this was
voting.
Our first Disney classic that we reviewed. So there you go.
Classic.
Old classic.
Which we're really excited because we're going to have some more classics coming up in the next couple months. And I think you guys will really enjoy it.
Woo-hoo. I can't wait.
Get ready.
So thanks for hanging in with us for our little short recap episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We know we did.
We definitely did. You guys make sure that you follow us on all of our social media platforms. We are at the Walt Vault Pod on Instagram. That's where all the action's happening. That's where you can vote on all these movies and stuff. You can follow us on Twitter at the Walt Vault Pod, or you can like us on Facebook at the Walt Vault Pod. And if you want to ask us a question, feel free to hop on into our DMs and send us a message. Or you can email us at contact@thewaltvaultpod.com.
Or you can slide in.
Slide.
He wanted to say it.
Follow the leader into our DMs.
Oh, there we go. Second side of the right, get into our DMs. The Walt Vault is available to subscribe to on YouTube, Stitcher, Google Play, and, of course, iTunes. That's where we really want you guys to leave us a review, because that helps people find the podcast. So please subscribe. That's all for now, but we will see you next week. The vault is now closed.